Well, every once in a while I get a little email that says, "Gee, could you tone that music down a little bit?" To which I must answer, "No, it's Saturday night and we're going to rock the mothership a little bit. It doesn't matter. We're not going to bust anything. We're weightless. We're having a great conversation, in my opinion, with Kimberly and Foster Gamble and their spectacular production, Thrive." When we come back after this little short break, we're going to get into the money and exactly why we are getting, well, in the parlance of the day, jerked around, over, under, sideways, and down. This is the one and only Coast to Coast AM. Stand by. Kimberly and Foster Gamble, let me ask you something. Are we ready for the next step in evolution, or do we need to chill this corporate greed, the same kind of greed that has destroyed empire after empire? Greed and excess and the degeneracy that accompanies it. Are we ready? Can we get ready in time before we run out of Earth?
Yeah, what a great question. I think they really come together. A lot of people talk about, well, we just need to become more conscious. We just need to wake up. And it's true that we need to wake up, but it's not enough, we think, just to become more conscious. It actually matters what we become conscious of. And at the same time that we do our personal growth and develop our inner awareness and so forth, I think it's critical that we become aware of the situation that is surrounding and threatening us. I personally have a long background in the martial arts. I trained and taught in the martial art, the nonviolent martial art of Aikido, for 15 years. And in martial arts, and I think you know this, John, I've read that you're a martial artist as well. In any martial art, they teach you that the first imperative is an accurate assessment of your reality. Now, you better know what's going on around you if you're going to protect yourself and your loved ones. So I think that as we incorporate into our growth, becoming aware of the threat that is happening to us that you were discussing with Alex in the first hour, then we, even though it's bad news, it can be very shocking and depressing to find out how some human beings want to control and treat other people. At the same time, it's like if you had a tough but treatable disease, you'd want to know it so you could get active, get your feet on the ground, and take actions that are going to be highly leveraged and effective, really commensurate to the problem at hand. So I'm happy to say that I'm more optimistic than I have been in 15 years about the way people are waking up and becoming more conscious within themselves and of what's going on and starting to take action.
Yeah, I wanted to say when I heard a comment you made, John, talking with Alex about that you can handle the truth. I really feel that way too. I found that the information that's in Thrive and at thrivemovement.com, and that Alex puts out and the Coast to Coast covers and all the rest, it's really empowering because once you wrap around what really is going on, then we can, like Foster said, have leveraged solutions that are really addressing what's happening instead of kind of being scattered all over the place, just still trying to sort it out. So I'm personally more optimistic now that I understand the nature of the problem than I was when I just thought, whoa, what a random mess this all is, which is, what it seemed at first to me.
But it's really a rather controlled mess, isn't
It's a
it?
completely controlled mess. And I did want to say a lot of what we're talking about is visual, whether it's with the code section that we were talking about the first hour or even with some of the banking and global domination stuff that we get into. And at thrivemovement.com, if listeners go there, they can see some of the visuals that we're talking about.
Tell us, I have asked this question. We've had a number of economists on here. I like to say rational. I like to put that German spin on it. Rational men and women have talked about various aspects of economy and monetary policy. And one of the questions that I always ask is, what is money? It was my understanding it was an instrument, it was an agreement to exchange goods or services. And then Dr. Manning mentioned that, well, that's true, but it's also a social compact. But now, after watching your presentation, and I must compliment you on this, that is the most streamlined and easiest to understand visual description of what has brought us to the pinnacle, the tipping point, and right over there is financial collapse. Would you mind just taking us through that, and let's follow the money stream upwards?
Yeah, thanks. I think you've gone right to the heart of the matter with that. And Kimberly is a former journalist for Newsweek International, and she's one of the ones who really has encouraged me that when a story doesn't make sense, follow the money. And it turns out that if you follow the money in any one of what we call the 12 major sectors of human endeavor, whether it's energy or agriculture or education or media or science or whatever, you follow in any area upstream to see who's got the money, who's controlling that area. It goes back to a very few families, in particular the Rothschilds, the Rockefellers, the Morgans, the Carnegies, a few families like that. And so as I was investigating that, I kept thinking, well, gee, what is it about them? Are they that smart, or are they better people than the rest of us? What's going on here? But if you keep following it, then it leads all the way to the sector of money and economics itself. And it turns out that these people simply were the ones that were kind of first in on the basic scam that started about 400 years ago, when the goldsmiths, people who were working with metals and therefore were building the vaults, started storing people's gold, because people were actually using gold and silver as real money, but it was risky to carry around, and it was heavy and hard to divide up and that kind of stuff. So they started putting it in vaults for safekeeping and using the certificates of deposit as money. That was kind of the first paper money. But then the bankers caught on to the notion, the vault keepers caught on to the notion that they could actually lend money out at interest, but they could also lend money that they didn't actually have, because they could just say, well, we've got it in our vault, and people weren't coming to pick up their gold all the time. So they started this scam of lending more money than they actually had, and then it got institutionalized as the central banking fiat money, which means just made up out of nothing, fractional reserve scam. And even today, most banks can lend out at least 10 times as much money as they actually have. Well, think of your personal finances. If you could run your family by just making up at least 10 times as much money as you actually have, well, you'd be able to do a lot more. And if you were playing Monopoly with someone who could do that, they'd be able to buy you out awfully fast. So they've actually kept this scam pretty much under wraps for about 400 years. And now, especially with the Internet, the truth is coming out about how this works. And I heard you refer to that Henry Ford quote, where he said, basically, if Americans understood how the banking system actually worked, there'd be a riot in the street before morning. Well, it's called Occupy, and it's happening not only in this country but all over the world, because virtually every country in the world is under this central banking fractional reserve scheme. So basically, they took the honest money that you're talking about, where you actually have an agreement, you have a medium of honest exchange, and they falsified it. They basically started counterfeiting and reserving that privilege to themselves. But now that the truth is getting out about that, people, even if they don't thoroughly understand it yet, they know are getting screwed by something, and they're trying to figure out how. So for instance, the Occupy movement is using the movie Thrive and the website quite a bit in different sites or around this country, just to get educated about how this works, so we can be highly leveraged in where we target the actions to restore an honest money system. Because when we do, the prosperity, a couple of economists that I work with estimated that virtually every family in America would have roughly between 3 and 10 times the amount of income and assets that they have right now, working the same or less, just with an honest money system.
It was so excellent the way that, and this was, I sat through several economics classes, but no one ever said, okay, you deposit $10,000 in this account, and then somebody comes in and wants a car loan, and so that takes $9,000. And that money is then redeposited into the same banking system. And by the time it's all over with, $10,000 has turned into $100,000. And you can extrapolate that out as far as you want, but before too long, you find out why we have a multiple trillion-dollar deficit.
Yeah,
there, that money does not exist.
So what we really need is actually a free market in money, because right now the government had a monopoly on money, and obviously they could back it up with their monopoly on force. But then they made the deal with the bankers of turning that monopoly over to a few central bankers. And in return for the promise that the bankers would basically print money whenever they needed it, so they could go off and do their foreign wars of aggression and so forth, and you know, pay off their corporate cronies and so forth without getting unpopular with the voters, at least until recently. But if anybody could make up money, then only the currencies which were actually sound, the ones that were backed by, you know, gold or silver or platinum or corn or, you know, something that was real in the world, only those currencies would very quickly be used by people, because they would be more reliable. So what the government and the bankers are most afraid of is actually having a true free market rather than a government-backed monopoly on the making of money, because that's what gives them their power and control over other people.
Yeah, and I wanted to thank you for your acknowledgement of how, you know, we laid it out. We used a lot of graphics and stuff to make us what often sounds so complicated really as simple and basic as it is, because once you understand it, you know, our idea was to have Thrive be a tool for people to share, so that those who do understand it can share it with those who don't. And it's just a way to level this field so that we can have the information that we need to then get on to the next step. And understanding how the money works is just kind of prerequisite to getting control over our lives.
By the way, there are so many Coast listeners and others, I'm sure, but certainly Coast listeners, hitting your website that I think it was starting to mess with your server a little bit, but thrivemovement.com is up online, and I'm looking at it right now. But I did get an error message a couple of times.
Well, keep trying, because it can handle quite a bit.
I'm seeing this beautiful crop circle here. I know we're talking about money, but it's like just a quick one. It's totally impossible that all of those crop circles were done with that sort of accuracy by hoaxers. That's my opinion.
Yeah.
What's your opinion?
Well, that's mine also. There are certainly many hoaxed crop circles, and they used to be very crude. Now some of them are getting quite sophisticated. But the notion that, I mean, there have been 6,000 documented ones. The estimates are over 10,000 circles have appeared. And the notion that people could do that many without being discovered, and without, for instance, the most elaborate one in history was this one with 409 perfect circles in this beautiful spiral fractal pattern we feature in the film. That one appeared after a night of a driving rainstorm, and there were no footprints whatsoever in the field, and the thing is absolutely perfect and has all these electromagnetic anomalies. So I think it's for both Kimberly and me, one of the most important words we've learned in our process is maybe. So we don't want anybody to believe what we're saying, but we invite people to consider it and then check it out for yourself. Just ask yourself, well, maybe, and then go do your own homework and come to your own conclusions, because it's really critical thinking that we need more than anybody adopting anybody else's belief system.
Yeah, I do want to add that one of the things we did in the making of Thrive is we had independent fact checkers to corroborate the information as we were finding it. And it gives me an opportunity, one, to pay tribute to Alex Jones, because the information that we got from him was reliably accurate. And it helped us to know, you know, who were our most reliable sources. And we continued to have everything fact-checked before we put it out. And all of those facts are actually listed on our website at thrivemovement.com also. But I do want to acknowledge how important it is for those whose, you know, research helped us to then paint this picture of coherence that we were able to offer. And Alex Jones is one of the ones who's really done his homework, and we benefited hugely from that.
John, let me mention one other thing while we're talking about the money, because we spent a long time trying to simplify this whole picture of following the money down to a single graphic. And it appears in the what we call the problem section under follow the money. And it's a pyramid that looks to lay out as simply as we could who's working for whom, basically, on the planet right now. And down at the lowest level is what we call people, planet, and all living things. And that's all of us and the creatures on the planet running around doing their thing. And then above us is government. And obviously government has a lot of power over the people that it quote-unquote rules. And most people think, well, that's as high as it goes, and Obama must be the most powerful person in the world because he's president of the U.S. government and so forth. But it's important to realize, and more people are waking up to the fact through things like the Citizen United Supreme Court decision, that the government really is pretty much beholden to the corporations, what's often termed the corporatocracy. But we need to keep going. That's just level three. If you keep going, the corporations, basically, when they do their big projects, they're not spending their own money. They're borrowing capital at cheap prices from the major banks, from Citigroup and Goldman Sachs and Chase and Bank of America and so forth. So they're really dependent for their power on those big banks. But then those banks are also subservient to the central banks, like the Federal Reserve in this country and the central banks in other countries. And even those are subservient then to the World Bank and the IMF. And then the central bank of central banks is the Bank of International Settlements, which most people have never heard of. And it's really the Rothschild-created bank in Europe that is the kind of nerve center for the entire financial scam worldwide. And then that's run basically through the secret societies that meet behind closed doors and decide the agenda for the rest of us on the planet. And then you see their decisions come out from behind those closed doors and then get imposed down through the military systems and through the media systems and through the government systems and so forth. So when people are thinking that the right or the left is going to get in the candidate that's going to rescue America and so forth, it's important to wake up and realize that at the top of, in this country, both parties, anyone who makes it that far has already shown themselves to be subservient to this, what we call the global domination agenda. And the one thing you notice from the right or the left is they don't go after the military budget and they don't go after how the money really works. And so, independent candidates that try to go after that are usually marginalized or entirely taken out of the game. And I listened to your program last week with Jonathan Zapp, and he did a great job of laying out the research that these people who rise to the top of these systems, the corrupt money system and the corrupt government systems, tend to be people who really dissociate emotionally from any sense of real human connection with the implications, with the impact of their actions, whether it be wars or intentional financial collapses, and so forth. So if we realize that our systems are supporting those type of people having power over the rest of us, then we can start, as those systems are collapsing, which they now are, what we need to be doing, and I'm happy to say it is happening all over the world, is that decentralized, local, honest systems, whether they be money, media systems like your own and others, are emerging all over the world, and that can replace the corrupt structures that are really threatening billions of lives all over the planet.
Yes, that's very interesting. Now, I know that a lot of people are going to want to talk to you, so we'll take some calls from them in a little while. But when we come back in just a few minutes, I would like to discuss with you and have you explain to the Coast family how these people, these scientists, manage to disappear the moment that they really have something serious to bring to the party, such as these free energy devices. And also, when it comes to restructuring the system, what do we replace it with? Our guests tonight are Kimberly and Foster Gamble. Their production, Thrive, and we shall return. This is Coast to Coast AM. Thank you, my invisible friend, Ross Mitchell. This is one of those programs that's going to morph into something completely You know, just a little bit more than we hoped for and just exactly what we wanted. We will take your calls here toward the we'll take a couple here toward the end of this hour, and then we'll take a bunch. So have your questions ready. You can email me at John B, J-O-H-N, B as in Bravo, at coasttocoastam.com. And Ross will give the numbers out at a near point in future. We are speaking with Kimberly and Foster Gamble, and their production is, I just want to call it a production. You can't call it a film. Calling it a DVD is boring. It's a stunning piece of work. It really is. I think you will enjoy it. Their website is thrivemovement.com, and their server's blowing up or trying to, but just hang in there. You'll eventually get in. That's what happens when the Coast listeners get a hold of something. They're like piranha, and that's a good thing. Just give us 2 minutes. We'll be right back on Coast to Coast AM. Stand by. Kimberly and Foster, bouncing around here just a little bit. We'll go right back to the banking thing, but touch one more time on some of these scientists whose facilities have been raided and who in some cases have been well done away with.
Well, some of them have come forward in the film, sometimes for the first time. Others we've got footage of or we refer to, but not by name because they'd prefer not to be named. But John Bedini showed a device at a town hall meeting in Los Angeles several decades ago and announced that he was going to start selling free energy devices. And he was visited in his lab by a couple of thugs who put him up against the wall and said basically he'd be taken out of the game if he did. So he's continued to do amazing inventions and teaching people about how energy works, but has acknowledged publicly that he can't provide the over-unity so-called devices that are that he's capable of. Same thing with Adam Trombley, who was he and his partner David Farnsworth came up with some devices that he was invited to show at the UN and also at the U.S. Senate, and they were shut down prior to those demonstrations, and their lab was raided. John Hutchison is another one who had both free energy batteries. He's Canadian, and he also had anti-gravity devices. His lab has been raided and equipment taken on three different occasions. So we're really in this predicament where we've got these fantastic possibilities that are, in fact, now available. They're possible. They've been manifested. But the political and economic situation is such that they're not available to the public yet, and I'm happy to say that it's probably the single strongest reaction we've been getting to the Thrive movie and what we call our critical mass actions on the website, is that we've been getting papers from theoretical scientists, we've been getting contacted by inventors, and also by people who want to contribute or invest money to get these technologies out, really from all over the world. So this will be a decentralized, gradual, and as safe as possible emergence of these technologies all over the planet. It can't be stopped for much longer.
Yeah, and a big part of it was for us to raise the awareness, to add credibility to the issue and to, you know, like is available on the website and like the movie demonstrates, to bring this conversation out into the open so that as we're contemplating energy alternatives, this one's really on the table, and I think that public awareness serves a huge role in actually a big first step toward making that happen.
Since the politicians and the corporations are almost one and the same, it would appear, I don't suppose there's any point in asking from which group is it most likely that these thug-born advisories were given to these scientists and inventors.
Well, the raids have usually been from the FBI, but there's surveillance from the NSA and the Air Force and numerous other agencies. It's called sort of arms from the same octopus.
Yeah.
Now, I understand the Chinese are acquiring, Tim mentioned that they're acquiring huge amounts of gold to try and throw the dollar overboard as the world's dominant currency. If this were to happen, what will the effect be? What if the dollar did become the not dominant currency in the world?
Well, Well, I think that the likelihood of that is very strong right now, especially with something like $700 trillion in bad derivative debt with all these major banks right now. I think not only is a major national and global financial collapse possible, I think it's imminent and actually being planned by the powers that be, because I think that the ultimate agenda that they're working on is a one-world government with a one-world currency and a one-world police force and so forth that the international central bankers are in charge of. And the major hurdle to that, to the accomplishment of that vicious agenda, is really the freedom of the United States and the strength of its real economy. So I believe that as they're crashing other countries, in what we're seeing in Greece and throughout the European Union and other places, I think that that's coming here very soon, and that they actually intend that that happen, so that in the ensuing panic, and I think that they might also accompany it by a new war or two in the Middle East, in order that there be this problem-reaction-solution strategy, this shock doctrine strategy that puts people into fear and then begging the government to solve the problem being this huge financial collapse, and the solution I think that the powers that would like to be already have in mind is this global system, which people would not accept other than in a state of panic. So I think the more we wake up to the potential of kind of a false flag operation like this and know that that's part of the plan, then, as you were saying before, John, we can be focusing, and people already are, on creating the healthy systems, the decentralized, whole systems that can and are emerging as an alternative to this old, crumbling, corrupt system.
Yeah. Well, let me ask you this. Is there any $700 trillion, millions. That's just an astronomical figure. Is there a reset button? Is there any possibility that we can just say, okay, the only way to deal with this is just write all of the debt off, forget about it, we're going to reset this thing and just start over again? Is there any starting over, or does it have to collapse and then reemerge in some other form?
Well, my hope would be that the primary center of the collapse is of the major banks that have perpetrated this in the first place, so that those banks go out of business as they should have before they got bailed out by the taxpayers, with the Federal Reserve money that went from the bankers to the bankers themselves. So that debt should go away, and the actual people be taken care of, but the bankers themselves who did this lose their businesses and go through a major period of truth and reconciliation, where we have real investigations, and the people who have been, creating the fake money and stealing other people's hard-earned money, they pay the price and need to come back and repay the people who've actually created these deposits, and start a rectification there. It's a vast challenge that's going to take a lot of different work and a lot of details. I think it's going to be a messy transition, but the longer we wait, the worse it's going to be.
Got another question for you, and it's this. This will take China down with everybody else. Do you think that China will be all right with being part of the big world government, or you think they're liable to get bucky after it's... let's just assume that the world government does take over. They all get together and decide, yeah, we got to do it. Do you think everybody's going to toe the line indefinitely, or do you think somebody's going to turn out to be the wild card and upset that plan?
Well, I know that Hank Paulson, the former Secretary of the Treasury, the former head of Goldman Sachs, made 40 trips in the year preceding the 2008 collapse, 40 trips to China. Now, I don't know exactly what he was doing there, but he sure had a lot of his attention. And I think that there are forces in China that are coordinating with the international central bankers who are trying to be in collaboration at the top of the pyramid when the whole thing comes down. I think that China is actually in the strongest position with the economy that they've got now, and they have been buying and hoarding gold for a long time now, and they're owed a tremendous amount of gold by the United States. But there are factions amongst these would-be controllers who are apparently all fighting amongst themselves as well. So we are definitely in for some very strange times, and there's just a lot of truth-telling that needs to go on before we're going to get back before we can get to a system that actually runs on integrity and freedom as opposed to fake money and corruption.
And I do want to mention that, you know, a good chunk of the movie is about solutions and what we can do about this, because in the same way that the Taurus is sort of the basis for free energy, it also really provides a template, like Foster was saying early on, about for sustainable systems and not sustainable in the Agenda 21 terms, but true sustainable systems.
And amplify that a little bit, Kimberly.
Well, the way that it's sort of like, if you look at how does a natural, healthy ecosystem sustain itself, and there are certain features that you can actually recognize, and the Taurus embodies them. There's a balance of what goes in with what goes out. There's it has mechanisms for self-correcting, and these various features that we've actually designed a solutions model, which is something that, you know, the movie gets into some, and there's more in depth than the website, and we're starting to get out, and we're going to be going on a tour around this country and Australia and Europe this year to be working in different communities with this solutions model. Because I think that, you know, for me, the whole point really of getting this understanding and figuring out how it works and checking the facts and, you know, getting it down is to say, okay, so now what do we do about it? And the template of the Taurus shows us ways to organize in communities in a way that we're actually called upon to do, you know, figure out who each of us is and what's our own passion and purpose and what's our part to play in this, because no one can do it all. And it, you know, it can look so overwhelming that you see your one life in the face of it and think, what can I do? When in fact, you know, this whole pyramid that is on the website that shows, you know, where the government is and where the people are in relation to this whole power structure. One of the things about it is, you know, the people are at the bottom of the pyramid. And, you know, right now that's where, you know, all our resources are being sucked away and all of the domination and control are coming down. But one thing to realize is that that pyramid actually depends upon people's participation in order to function. Our money system, our government system, our military system, all of the mechanisms by which this control and domination are happening actually require our participation. So people waking up is not an insignificant part of the transition to obsolete this agenda, in my opinion. And then there are actions that we can take to non-violently non-participate, stop our participation in the system. And, you know, Gandhi did it. And Martin Luther King did it, and it's been demonstrated that nonviolent non-participation, with awareness of where to focus our efforts, our actions in the most leveraged way, and then how to coordinate based on these features of healthy living systems that the Taurus exemplifies. I have a lot of hope in that, and it's something that we spend a lot of time in the movie and on the website getting into.
Yeah, let me add a little something to that about the solutions model, because your audience might be listening out there and thinking, whoa, this is scary and depressing, you know, everything's coming down. And it's certainly challenging, but at the same time, these are corrupt systems that need to come down. And we are very encouraged by what we're seeing as people are catching on to what's really going on and coming up with holistic, healthy systems all over the world. In response to Thrive, in just 3 months, there are already self-creating Thrive-inspired solutions groups occurring in cities and in states and in countries all over the world. And we're sharing with them an effective solutions model that we've used in other situations that really helps people organize in a way that individuals can relax into doing what their passion and their expertise is, and at the same time know that the other key areas are going to be handled as well, and that the areas can communicate with one another. Because in the movie, we identify these 12 sectors of human endeavor, and as communities are coming together to organize around this information, people can divide up into groups, and they are, where people who are environmental scientists can be in that group, and media experts, and artists, and scientists, and health specialists, and so forth, can divide up by group, choose the issues that are most critical for their area, and then organize in such a way that they're in touch with the other sectors as well, and can access the resources and skills from the media or from the arts or from science and so forth. And as groups are doing this, it adds a level of coherence and power that, as I said, allows you not to think that, oh, I need to go out and save the world by myself. You can go ahead and do what your passion is, knowing that these other areas are going to be handled by competent, passionate people, and that there are communication systems, which we educate people to on the website, as to how to coordinate this so that people's efforts, rather than kind of running around in panic hoping to do everything, people can do just what they specialize in, and the whole community can organize almost like a laser beam where it's coherently going in the same direction. And then cities and states are linking up with each other via the internet, and the same sorts of patterns of communications and solutions models are emerging all over the world, so that it's really happening simultaneously and sharing best practices and success stories in a way that is decentralized and has the possibility of succeeding like nothing that I've seen before. And we're coordinating with the Occupy movement and others that are already organizing major email lists and so forth, so that we can just be as efficient as we can in creating these new emerging systems.
How much bigger do you think these movements need to get before we get any movement from out of the powers on high?
Well, I think that the apartheid model in South Africa is a good example, where once it caught on that if you pressured universities and corporations and so forth to divest from their investments in areas that were inflicting apartheid on the population in South Africa. In the beginning, it looked like a David and Goliath situation, but very quickly it spread because it was true. It was moral. It was a good idea. And pretty soon the corporations and universities realized that in order to keep their support, they needed to turn very quickly in a more ethical direction. And I think that the same thing is happening worldwide. A lot of people think, because winter's come, Occupy has kind of fizzled. Well, I was just at a national summit meeting last week up in Olympia, Washington. And what's happened, as far as I can see, is it's simply gone indoors and starting to get really organized. And I think we're looking at an American and global spring where people are starting to get very coherent and coordinated in their actions, and getting very informed about what not only what's really going on, but what we can do about changing these systems in a nonviolent and effective way.
Well, I'll tell you, I am delighted to have you with us tonight. I know our audience members are too. And we'll take some of their calls and we'll get more deeply into this solution-based thing, whether it's setting up a bartering commerce like Michael has suggested, or what? People are ready. They're ready to be instructed. They're open to suggestions. So let's give them some when Coast to Coast AM returns.